The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
How?
Welcome to We the People Radio. For another fun Sunday.
Absolutely.
It's going to be even more fun than usual because our guest isn't answering the phone, so.
I'm going to pull out my playbook.
So the fun's just starting.
The fun has just begun.
The fun has just started. So, anyway, you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. All of our contact information, sponsorship information. Love to hear your program ideas and all that good stuff. So let's see. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And Bill Hyde, who is
hiding at the moment.
Yes.
Should have known. Darn it, the guy's last name was Hyde. Either that or you go for the Jekyll and Hyde thing, too. You know, could go either way. We hope you would stop hiding, though, and get on the air with us. So, I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff going on out in the big world. None of which we actually sat down and ruminated on to discuss with you today. And by the time anybody hears this in Philadelphia tomorrow, it'll probably all be different. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, jeez.
All they could talk about was Hillary. Actually, we coming back from an event last night in Yreka, I forced Bill to listen to progressive radio.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you like this show, you probably don't listen to progressive radio that often, but you really should. Sirius. It's Sirius 127 Progress.
Yeah.
It used to be 127 Left.
You get an idea of what they think.
Well, it was hilarious because all they could talk about was how the media is totally controlled by all the... I'll leave out the expletives because they're on Sirius, so they can say whatever they want. And they do say whatever they want. But all the right-wingers...
All the right-wingers.
Radio, TV, yeah. Everything is controlled by the right-wingers.
There's no representation on the left on media today.
No.
None.
No. The progressive agenda is completely silenced.
Yep.
By all of us.
By the dirty Republicans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, that was...
Because that wasn't what they said.
Yeah, well, that was part of it.
Actually, they assaulted their parentage.
Yes. Yes,
and I do believe some of the things were probably actually not possible. That they said.
No.
I didn't learn about them in science anyway. And
yeah, but they tried.
Yeah. So yeah. They think the world is overrun with the right wingers, which is actually pretty funny. So somebody's wrong.
Yeah, being they've basically had control of everything for 7 years. So
I know, and they don't think so.
But they don't think so now that it looks like it's slipping through their fingers.
Oh,
all of a sudden.
And Congress is totally controlled by the right wingers, and they're getting everything they want.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, really?
Wow.
So why is everybody...
It was so bad. The host was... He was going to quit.
Oh, that's right.
He was going to quit. He couldn't do it anymore.
I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't take it.
Can't take it.
Yeah.
It was horrible. But then the last thing he said was, well, stick around. We'll be right back.
Yeah. That was actually pretty funny. Yeah, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to... And then he was talking about he needed sponsors. And I thought, wow.
Oh, that's a great way to...
Yeah. He didn't take any marketing classes in college.
Because he's such a business-friendly kind of guy.
Well, it's true. Yeah, it's true. All those evil corporations and capitalists and, yikes.
Meantime, advertise with me.
Yeah. And he read a big, long letter. Some professor at Columbia, imagine that, Columbia, he wrote a letter to Bernie Sanders... trying to give Bernie tips on how to pitch socialism without making it sound so scary.
So socialist.
So darn socialist, because people are turned off by that, because all of us right-wingers are poisoning everyone's minds. It was actually...
Because we can't be honest about what it actually is.
That's right. And we control everything. Don't forget that. We're getting everything we want. Somehow under Obama, the right-wing agenda has completely taken over.
Yeah. It just cracked me
by
up.
By we, I meant the socialism advocates in that particular case. They can't be honest about about what...
Oh,
it
no.
Really
it was going to be great, though, because you know what? Everybody talks about Lenin and Mao and all these bad guys. And, you know, it's just meant to mislead people, because real socialism is actually great. And Bernie Sanders, apparently, I got to say, I have not been to one of the rallies, but apparently he talks about Denmark. And so this guy's like, stop talking about Denmark. It scares people. I was like, wow, people are frightened of Scandinavian countries now? Kind of funny. Anyway, so for a good time.
I'm going to go grab the Danish.
Definitely. Stay away from the Danish, Bob.
Yeah, it was an eye opener. It was, but when he went to the whole media thing, how the media is all controlled by the right wing blank blanks, I thought, wow, how is he going to sell that?
Well, you really have to mull it over because somebody's wrong. I mean, the conservatives in this country are absolutely apoplectic, and for good reason. Okay, so now we're the guys on the other side, you know.
I really liked the folks that were calling in too. They were geniuses.
Yeah, yeah, the caller. That's another fun thing too. You start to realize that maybe it's not a lost cause after all because we're not really playing on the same field sometimes.
No, they weren't. They weren't.
It was fun, but I don't know. He didn't have any guests. At least they were available. Unlike Mr. Hyde, who is still doing that.
Yeah.
I need more music, Bob. So anyway, let's take a quick break. We'll see if we can't bludgeon Mr. Hyde into joining us, because actually he did a really neat
We'll tan his hide.
We will tan his hide. You know, just keep going on this. He has done a Civil War themed audio book, and we've had him on before with Heirloom Audio. It's really neat. And actually my burning question is, first, I want to know why he picked this project, and I want to know if he picked the project before the whole Confederate flag thing or after, and I want to know how he gets the horse noises, because they were really good. I listened to it. Yeah, they were way better than that.
They're better than that, yeah.
you're fired, or at least not in the market for an audiobook. Anyway, it was terrific, and we've got all of that on the website, just in case Mr. Hyde never shows up. We do have all this stuff on there, though. It's very interesting. And if you have kids and you're doing any kind of homeschooling at all, this actually counts as history curriculum. And we did another one about Braveheart, the original Braveheart. That's also on the website. That was how long ago? 6 months ago or something?
Actually, it was last December.
Was it really? It was a year ago?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Almost.
Wow. What is the deal with this year? This year's gone so darn fast.
Flying by. It's almost
Thanksgiving. Okay, so a year ago we did that one. And I will actually move that link on today's page two. All right. So join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, for all the fun information about the guest we're hoping we have. And other than that, we'll be right back. Yes, what shall we do about them? Extra poignant today, Bob.
They move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. There's a burning question, a fire in my mind. You always had the answers, the ones I couldn't find. So all I'm asking is, where are you now?
Yeah, so where are you, Bill? Where are you, Mr. Hyde? We're still kind of shuffling around here trying to figure out where our guest is. But we're working on it.
There we go. It's hard to be on the phone.
On two phones.
And it's hard to be on two phones at the exact same time. So we're gonna give Rusty a call on her mobile number right there, if you would, please.
Certainly.
So you are...
you missed that brilliant bumper music, but Bill heard it.
I did. What was the brilliant bumper music?
Where are you now?
Point Black. Where are you now?
It was so soft, I didn't hear it. Or maybe it was because I had a phone in my ear. So we were going to do an update on the VA situation. What the heck? Because there's been lots of fun stuff in the news about them lately.
Yeah,
again.
Somebody might get indicted over that. That's really exciting.
Our favorite cast of characters.
Yes, they're still around. They certainly don't want the spotlight on them anymore. I don't think it's been a lot of fun.
Bob dropped my phone.
Well, no, I dropped it because the screen went dark.
Don't drop it on your foot. That thing's the size of a small desk.
No kidding. Well, that's how phones are these days.
It is.
You can't win. So anyway, Philadelphia, we talk about them a lot. And there is a bunch of stuff going on in Philadelphia. You had Allison Hickey resign. She is the undersecretary. She's kind of the last holdover, I think, from Shinseki, really. I'm not sure anybody else in the upper echelon is still there. So she's the one who couldn't come up with a straight story on 13,000 claims or pretty much anything else, actually. And when we had the hearing back there in Washington, they actually made sure she was out of the country so she didn't give some other alternate theory of the crime. So anyway, she's gone, which is a good thing. Diana Rubens, who was the field, what do I want to call her? She was the field. She's now the field director. I forget what she is. She's in charge of all the field operations. That's
operations.
It.
Yeah.
So all the field offices. She's now running Philadelphia, except they're looking into her, as we've discussed previous, for her moving expenses. The old $274,000 that.
They might have to pay that back.
She got to relocate. So. Yeah.
But the bad thing about that whole thing was they actually jacked some poor guy out of his position.
Right.
An underling.
So that someone else could take his.
So that they could take his position and keep the same rate of pay and lay back and, you know, the heck with everybody else.
Yeah.
It's about me right now.
Well, Rubens and Graves are being looked at for potential criminal charges using their positions that way. But Oakland's been busy this week, too. So we have Rusty Brown on the line calling around, seeing who's available on Sunday afternoon to pinch hit with us. Hi, Miss Rusty.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. You caught me doing laundry.
Well,
this will be a lot more fun than laundry.
So much more fun.
Trust me, I know.
Unless you're at my house, in which case you wash the clothes and then you take them to the laundromat to dry them because our dryer breaks every 2 months.
Oh, no.
It's a good thing it's new. Oh, and it's Maytag. We got, you know, the Maytag repairman who never has anything to do. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
That's obviously wholly false.
Yeah,
So anyway, well, we've communicated back and forth a little bit this week, just because the Inspector General's back in Oakland.
Yes.
So for all those people who haven't listened to the previous shows, how could you have missed all this? But if you did, there's a tab on our website. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us and look at the top, there's a tab that says Veterans. And we've got all the different programs on there, and each of those pages has tons of information. So give folks a little background on how, you know, what you were working on. And I know you've been retired now for what, year?
Well, I've been retired from the VA for a year, but
God,
not so much retired because I'm still fighting the VA.
Exactly. I cannot believe it. I can't believe it's been that long, though. But I know.
No,
that.
I can't either. And I literally realized here not too long ago that it was right at a year. And I just, wow, it seems like not that much has changed, and yet a lot has changed. So, you know, just fighting the VA these days.
Well, and of course, you were like so many people. You would have stayed there, and you wanted to do your job, but obviously were prevented from doing that.
Absolutely.
Stress and being followed and all the rest of it. So you were part of a team of people who discovered, well, did you guys discover the 13,000 claims? You guys did, didn't you?
Well, actually what happened in 2009, 13,184 claims, old informal claims, had been found, and they had actually been found. Matter of fact, Diana Rubens was on a visiting site team in Oakland when these informals were found. And once again, then OIG had substantiated that, yes, these claims existed. And then in 2012, myself and four other people were put on a team to go through these claims. And what we thought were going to be instructions were going to be simple. These were not really claims. They were just going to be in and out. What turned into be lots of claims that went back to the early, mid-1990s, from veterans, you know, asking for help. And Oakland, VBA Oakland, literally stuck them in a four-drawer lateral cabinet and hid them away for years.
And the reason they did that was so that their numbers would look good. Is that kind of the?
Well, that's my belief. My belief is it's a strong belief amongst a lot of us that it all was centered around making their numbers look good. And we noticed this more and more as I was working there that, you know, you don't have one inventory of claims. You have lots of inventories of lots of different kind of claims. And so when the public asks for what is the inventory at Oakland, Oakland stands up and says, oh, our inventory is this, when in fact they have several other inventories that they're not including because they've just changed the type of claim that it was, changed the number, tracking number, or, you know, so there's still a lot of stuff that's still going on even now that's, you know, that goes back to, you know, watching the dates of claims. And they were literally holding these back, hiding them. And when we started going through them and realizing that these were, a lot of these were live claims, the majority, none of these had ever been, the veteran had never been answered, you know, and so you had a whole lot of them, you know, I would say thousands. In the beginning, in the first couple of weeks of screening these claims, we realized that thousands of these veterans were dead. That they were already dead, and they had been dead for years. So now we're in a position where, oh, my gosh, you've got five people working this project. All five of us are veterans. All five of us. And all five of us are smart enough to know that what they were doing is trying to slide these through some quote-unquote trainees. And what they made the mistake of is they picked the wrong five people. There was no doubt in my mind. They picked the wrong people.
Because they thought you guys would just do whatever they told you to do, you know.
So yeah, just shoot it through and do what they say. You know, they're used to having a lot of people that will just blindly accept what they say to do. And as a veteran, you know, a lot of us got jobs there thinking, oh, my gosh, the good that we can do in the next stage of our life. And then we noticed, I mean, literally noticed the first week I worked there, this is not right. The way they do things is not right. They're, you know, they're just not, it's more important to make it look good to the public and to make people think that the numbers are great, when what they're doing is they're taking each veteran and they're depriving them of benefit.
But it wasn't just to look good. I mean, there was also some monetary gain involved, wasn't there?
Well, you have, in the past, now they had this bonus incentive program. Now, I think they still kind of sort of do something like that, but they've changed the way that they title it. But, yes, it was based on how their numbers looked, and the managers were getting incentives. And we actually overheard one manager, you know, talking about it was just about time for his bonus, and he was going to go out and buy a new boat. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, they're getting bonuses, and we've got thousands of veterans who they won't contact, who they won't call, who even the ones that passed away, they didn't contact their families. They didn't explain to them, you know, they might be eligible for some type of benefit. So it was a very greedy, very selfish culture within the VA there in Oakland to just do whatever they needed to do to make it look good.
So if a veteran, say his claim was one of those that was just stuck in the closet and lost for all these years, if he actually requested help or wanted to file a claim back then and it was just stashed away, and now he's passed on, is that claim dead now, or do his survivors have any kind of recourse, or are they a beneficiary to claims that they never may have received?
Well, yes. The dependents may be eligible for something, and that was probably the hardest thing for us to accept, is that a lot of these veterans that we were reading letters from were Vietnam-era veterans, so they were suffering from presumptive conditions from Agent Orange exposure. So these individuals were reaching out for help. Now, if we can substantiate that, yes, they were in Vietnam or in an area that was exposed to Agent Orange, and they have one of these presumptive conditions, then they're eligible for compensation. And if they pass away due to this condition, then their family, their surviving spouse, may be eligible for death benefits. And these death benefits can be up to I think, $3,000 a month.
Oh, wow.
So when you're talking about an elderly woman who's lost her husband of 40 or 50 years and, you know, and she's living, oh, my gosh, you know, and even a small pension that some of these guys would have been eligible, their widows would have been eligible for, even at $400 or $500 a month could make a huge difference.
Oh, sure, sure. And not to mention, not to mention the suffering and the expense they went to prior to them passing on that they're now still dealing with, that would make a big difference in their life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hmm. So I'm, you know, the thing about being the VA is a lot of us went into it with this mentality that we were going to do such great things and wanted to help so many vets, and really the ones that we were able to help were the ones we were helping under the table. The ones that we weren't supposed to give out our direct phone numbers. I gave my number to everybody. I mean, anybody that wanted my number.
Even I heard about that. They were like, you should call Rusty, but her phone's always busy because everyone calls her.
Oh, yeah. If I was gone a day, the people in my pod with me would say, your phone rang all day long. And that's the kind of thing that if you wanted to really help these people, you had to kind of go under the radar to do it.
Mm. And once they found out you were working with the congressional office to get it fixed, then, well, all the fun stopped then.
Well, yeah, then the evilness really came out. And you don't realize until I remember the day I was at work and I realized I had just come back from being demoted from them denying my reasonable accommodation. And I had just come back and I remember standing there and I was overhearing some managers talking and I realized the depths that they would go to hurt people. And not just their own employees, but I'm a disabled vet. I'm 100% service-connected for PTSD. Oh, my gosh. And they had no concern. And I think the thing that really hurt them with me is that I was a good employee. I was an overachiever employee. And so, and I think that's the only reason we have still one or two people still even there, is that they're such good employees. They can't figure out a way to get rid of them.
You know, that's a great point. What is the, the mentality or the morale of the folks that are there? There's got to be still a considerable number of people working there that do care but are somewhat kind of under the thumb of management. Is that the case? I mean, is there still good people working there that want to do a good job?
There's a lot of good people that still work there. Unfortunately, when you have individuals that, you know, they're, say, you know, I know one gal whose husband is disabled. She's got kids. For her to lose her job would be catastrophic. So they are able to intimidate and bully and kind of keep you under their thumb, you know, keep you in line, you know.
Right.
And even though there are people now, I will say over the last year and since I testified in Washington and since all these OIG inspections have come out to Oakland, there are more and more people within, more and more employees within Oakland who are realizing that Rusty wasn't just nuts. Rusty was telling the truth. This really did happen.
Because some people really did believe that you were doing it somehow you were getting something out of it.
What was funny, I kept hearing management telling the other employees that I was just a disgruntled employee. But let me say this very loud and clear. You're damn straight I was a disgruntled employee, okay? I watched every day them take benefits away from veterans every single day. So, yes, I was absolutely a disgruntled employee. I went to my supervisor on, I would say at least 3 to 4 times a week. And I was, and we're talking 5 days a week. And I was in his office almost every single day complaining about, we're not doing this, we're not doing that, we should be doing. He didn't care. He didn't care. And that was the sad part. And there's this culture within, I think it's widespread amongst the VA. We had plenty of managers come into Oakland as visiting you know, helpers. And these were GS 13, 12s and 13s who really should know their stuff. And they're coming in doing the same nasty stuff as Oakland was doing.
Wow.
You know, when you talk about the hiding of the 13,184 claims, there were managers from other regional offices here to help Oakland. They all had knowledge of it. So it wasn't like, and they were the ones telling Oakland how to do it.
So they were doing the same thing in their offices that Oakland was doing. Wow.
Yeah, everybody's
it's
up
a
to the
game.
Everybody's
it's
up to the same. And I had heard that that they're pushing them off to other offices. Everybody's shifting their stuff to different offices to change.
Yeah.
Change the numbers. I've got to look up the latest memo from them. Do you have it handy? The one, the latest one of how great their numbers are.
I did get a copy of that the other day.
I did too.
Candy with me, but I can guarantee they're not. Not including.
But the fiction.
Not, those are not accurate numbers.
No, the fiction was so. I mean, really and truly, it was so big. I thought, oh, my gosh, who would be stupid enough to actually believe this? Let's take a really quick break, and on the break, I'm going to look and see if I can find it, because the statistics that they're claiming, I thought were kind of stunning, actually.
Because they just broke around now.
If things were going that well, we wouldn't have so many people who are still waiting, obviously.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. That little song always comes in handy when we talk about VA claims. So just to tidy up our guest situation today, Mr. Hyde, who is going to be on, is actually in hiding because he came back from London and is ill. So those of you who looked at the webpage and thought we were going to be talking about the With Lee in Virginia series, we're not. Because he's sick, and we don't know enough to have a whole conversation about it, even though we did listen to the audiobook.
I can do a couple of the voices.
I just wanted to know how they made the horse noises. I had fairly low needs today. I can't even get that. Oh, my gosh. So we have pressed Miss Rusty Ann Brown into service with us today. She is...
We have called her out of retirement.
We have called her out of... Well, you know, Rusty, actually, it is fair that you're on with us because after the hearing where you testified in April, it did you in for such a long period of time, we never could have you back on again to talk about it because
it
crushed
it's
you.
Pretty much took a, it took a toll after, you know, you fight the VA on a daily basis every day, and then I suffer myself with PTSD, so just going through that, and I think my body just kind of shut down and went, oh, my gosh, you know, this is a lot. And you realize at a certain point that you can push yourself. You have to take care of yourself, and I had to pull myself back for a couple of months and kind of get myself back to full speed again, so to speak.
Well, the good news is that you got on the record. Back there, and
yeah.
Well, look what's happened since then.
Move the ball.
Of all that.
Exactly,
I mean,
move the ball down the field. Well, between hiding all those claims and then all the shenanigans with Rubens and Graves back there in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and all their craziness, Allison Hickey's gone. And I did find
Hallelujah.
I know, isn't that great? I did find, this is actually pretty funny. It is on the disabledveterans.org website, entitled Allison Hickey, Final Love Note to VA Employees.
Yeah. I got that email that morning from VBA employees, and it was hard to read.
It was just ridiculous. Let's see, here's her final email. Over the last 4.5 years, I have sent you many a note acknowledging all the extraordinary, extraordinary efforts and results you have driven to significantly improve our delivery of benefits and services to over 12 million veterans, service members, and their family and survivors. In every one of these notes, there was also an ask, a call to action for the next level of service we can and should provide. This note, my last one to you, is no different.
CYA.
I asked you all 4 years ago to embark on a seemingly impossible mission, knowing from my early and continued conversations with you that you were all in. She uses that expression a lot.
All in.
That's what she, that was in the email to Rubens. If she wanted to make that transfer to Philly, she was all in.
Yeah. Well, everybody has to be all in. Come on, it's a team.
That's something she likes.
Someday you'll get a moving experience.
She says, so willing, able, and ready to transform VBA, Veterans Benefits Administration, in scope and scale, never achieved before in our history. It's like, still never achieved. You committed your heart and soul in such phenomenally dedicated ways. I'm proud today to acknowledge that together we have changed how we serve veterans for all time. God, I hope not. And we are not done yet. Oh, yeah, here we go. There's still more to do. Here come the imaginary numbers. As a direct result of the transformation plan. Now, that's in capital letters, so she must actually have... She must actually think they were working on a quote-unquote transformation plan. We developed together and implemented. We have eliminated a decades-old backlog by nearly 90%.
Oh, she's crazy.
I know.
Again, which
90%?
Pile are you referring to? Because there were several.
Well, she says reducing it from 611,000 claims to just over 70,000 claims today.
In what period of time?
That's in the whole country. There's only 70,000 claims in the whole country.
I think they're doing a mini series on her right now, Supergirl. I think she's actually starring in that.
Nice
also
Bill.
Nikki.
Nice
yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Rusty, are you kidding me? 70,000 claims in the whole country?
No, there's no way. There's no way. And then once again, you're talking about maybe one small group of claims versus there still being multiple inventories out there that are not included in these figures.
Yeah,
they don't include them.
Well, she also says, and they've increased their accuracy at the claim level by 8%. So they moved up 8%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but actually their accuracy here, according to her, is 96%.
No way.
And it's over 98%. In 7 of the 8 error categories with at least one 97.7%. I mean, it's like, God. What is she saying?
I don't know where she got her numbers at, but I just don't see it. But
well,
you
if you
know,
put that out there, then you can always refer back to it as a previous truth. See, it was in this email. So, and we talked about all this.
God,
you know.
Well,
that'll be true.
At any given time, do you know how many claims were rolling through Oakland?
Let me see here. I think when I left in last year, oh gosh,
ballpark.
Wow.
I couldn't even begin
to tell you. I was so not privy to.
Well, because I guess the only reason I'm asking is there are 56 benefit centers around the country.
Right.
And if they only have 70,000 claims, what?
Oh, no, that's totally off. That's totally crazy.
Right. Well, they wouldn't have a backlog.
Why would they need so many centers if they've only got that many left? I mean
they could be doing that literally from probably one place with just a ton of people.
Well, they're right now. They're still doing projects in Oakland that go back to old stuff. So how are they dealing with new stuff if they're still they just concluded a project. It was a secret project, which was 700 claims that they found. 700 claims. Now, once again, they've got stuff everywhere. So when they report numbers, I don't even take it with a grain of salt. I just throw it away.
Well,
period.
I mean, for those people out there who are not Rain Man, 70,000 claims spread over 56 offices. Let's just say that they all had the same amount. That's 1,250 claims.
No.
Now, why would you need 300 employees to process 1,200 claims?
Exactly.
And why are people waiting years for that to happen? And interestingly enough, the claim that I've referenced now for the last couple of years that is 37 years old now, that guy just got back his results from the Board of Appeals, and the Board of Appeals actually service-connected him for every single thing he claimed that Oakland has denied him for all these years.
Oh, yeah.
So every single bit of that was flipped over, so he must be in that rarefied air of 2% error.
It kind of makes you wonder, though, when they it goes to the Board of Appeals and every single one was reversed, how could they get it all wrong?
Especially if they have a 98% accuracy rating.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Boy, some things have changed.
He just caught it.
You have a lot of times you have decisions being made strictly from not so much by the regulations or not by the rules, but more so by, well, I just don't want to give them those. Or I don't think they deserve it. Or, you know, so you've got
have
the ability to do that.
I know. See, that's what's crazy is they can just take it on themselves to make that decision and not have any kind of guide. Well, they have guidelines. They just don't.
Well, I remember back when that claim was being looked at, somebody had called from Oakland and said that they were sitting in the lunchroom saying, well, if we gave him money back to 1979, what would he do with all that money? He doesn't need that much money.
Wow.
That's not part of the criteria, is it, Rusty?
Who is that person to say that? I mean, who are they?
Yeah, exactly. Well, besides the fact that there are rules and regulations that actually govern what people are paid based on their claim, based on when they filed it and all that, this isn't some subjective. This is almost like they're settling hit and run cases.
Right. It's like you said, Rusty. Where did they get the authority to make that kind of judgment call?
Oh, they do it. I know a case just recently where a gentleman had seen three doctors, got three different statements from all three doctors. The VA had a nurse practitioner who overruled it, and the VA denied him his benefits.
Hmm.
Now, this is crazy.
You've
got reputable physicians, but the VA makes it, we're just not going to do it. Hmm. Well, who are you? They met the criteria. They did everything they were supposed to do. The doctor even says it. No, we're not going to give it to him.
And imagine what that does to the veteran. You know, he goes to three different doctors. They all say the same thing. Yes, he is eligible. He is messed up. He does deserve.
And then you wait and wait and wait and wait.
Right. And then they tell you no. I mean, talk about crushing.
Yes.
So now when somebody's processing a claim, when you guys are processing a claim down there, do you know when it goes to the next level if somebody flips over your decision?
No, because once you finish your action, then you have no reason to go back to it. So then you have a whole nother list of claims to do those actions on. So you never have a reason to go back.
Because it's kind of like an assembly line.
Exactly. They keep it disconnected. Matter of fact, they keep it so disconnected. It goes back to them not wanting personal direct communication with the veterans. I know a gal right now who's an MST survivor who's trying to file for her PTSD claim, and they're required to have an MST coordinator contact her within a very short amount of time. Well, she has called, this veteran has called and called and called and called, and this person has yet to call back, and it's been 6 months.
Wow.
So they pick and choose, you know, they have regulations, they have rules, but if they don't do them, what's the repercussions? There are no repercussions. If you belong to what we used to call the good old boys club, you basically did whatever they wanted and you were protected. If you didn't do what they wanted, it was all hands off and you had a target on your back.
And just to clear up for folks, the MST claims, those are military sexual trauma claims. So that isn't something where people should be, I mean, nobody should be dogged for any claim for all this time, but waiting 6 months and all that. They hate those claims.
Yes. Those are complicated. They take time. It takes away from the employee being able to make their daily production numbers. And that's, once again, it goes against the VA. If they really, truly wanted to help the veterans, get rid of this production stuff. Get rid of it, okay? Because your boss is going to know whether you're doing your job or not.
Right.
They're going to understand it because day by day, case by case, they're different.
Yeah.
You know, what applies to one person doesn't apply to the next person.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kind of lay it out there, generalizing it. That's not helping our veterans.
Well, the person with the complicated claim obviously then goes to the back of the line because they're going to foul up everybody's numbers. We need to take a really quick break. We will be right back. We are speaking with Rusty Ann Brown. She is a former employee of the Oakland VA. Done several shows with Rusty talking about claims that have been buried and hidden and stuff. We need to talk about the Inspector General that's hanging out down there when we come back.
Yeah, what's going on right now?
I know. It's been kind of fun. So you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa.
'Cause I don't know if you are loving somebody, I only know it isn't mine. I know this world is killing you, oh, Allison.
Our farewell.
My aim is true.
Yeah. Our send off to General Allison Hickey, Undersecretary for the VA. I have no idea how she got to be a general. It blows my mind. Mm. Really does a disservice to generals everywhere.
Really makes you want to look back and see what was going on back then,
yeah,
too.
What was going on back there?
Who did she step on the way up?
Interestingly enough, her little farewell letter, here was another part that I thought was kind of funny, actually. We no longer touch 5,000 tons of paper in a single year. We now complete 99.9% of all veterans' claims in our newly transformed digital environment. We did this all in a record-breaking 2 years, something not done before at this magnitude in the federal government and not easily matched even in the commercial business environment. Rusty, here it says that you've made history across both federal and commercial space in your all-in efforts to achieve this transformation for our veterans.
Wow.
So did you know that the technology you have built, tested, and deployed has been instrumental in this accomplishment? But the real success belongs to the people who built and use it every day to make such a big difference. So that's what, 12 different computer systems, 10 or 12 that you guys use for benefits?
Oh, my, yes. But let me say this, that the systems that the VA uses, like a lot of other government agencies, is minimal in its ability.
Yeah, aren't they bizarre and antiquated?
We never understood why they didn't. You know, you've got all these people right here in Silicon Valley, nearby. I mean, oh my God, we've got
that's true.
Out here. And you've got these programs that literally, I know for a fact, here a few days ago, talked to a friend who's working there now. The system was down 7 hours. 7 hours.
Well, I heard they had hand cranks and steering wheels on them. I don't know if that's true. But.
I mean, so they were literally doing nothing for 7 hours.
And wow.
So the systems that they're using, the, you know, is, it's not good. It's not great.
So the transformation isn't as great as she says?
Listen, they've been using the word transformation since the day I got hired, and that was in September of 2009.
Huh.
Okay. They've been talking about transformation. All they're doing is, you know, shifting things around, changing to misidentify, or in some cases, not even, you know, you've got a project that just ended in Oakland, just finished up, and there are, I don't know, probably 150 to 200 old claims folders that are sitting in Oakland right now that should have already been sent to the scan center.
Hey, and I think we have a picture of that. Hang with us, Rusty. We have to let the news people talk for a few minutes. Do a little wash for a few minutes, and then we'll come back to you, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for being our hostage. This is awesome. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.